This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Yeah, right. But here's the deal. I don't care what Fox thinks. I don't really care what y'all think about the timing. I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it. This guy, Mr. Comey, is a fine man who has compromised himself multiple ways. I spent yesterday morning trying to explain what he meant about Huma Abedin and Wiener. I had the distinct impression that Huma Abedin sent Wiener thousands of classified emails to find out that's not true. So let's start over and get somebody in the FBI that we all can agree is capable of doing the job.
So, Senator... Well, it's, those are the facts. I mean, how frustrating, you know, for a chairman who's doing this investigation. And, Scott, with some of the problems that you have with these public investigations is, you know, especially when you're talking national security issues, where they, you know, they're hiding. It's like whether, you know, it's their version of the Fifth, right? I can't address this because of national security claims in this venue. So it's okay. Well, then let's shut the venue down, or let's figure out what you can do in moving into what they would call executive order, where everybody else is kicked out and you get these, you get these questions answered. But I guess the process is such, it's so laborious. And to hear, you know, whether it's a senator or a congressman, you know, talking about things and bringing things up that really just more confuse the issue, or it doesn't get to the point. It just drags on, and you're thinking, you know, I look and I see all those people there and I go, okay, how much per hour are we paying them? And how much is this hearing that is going almost nowhere? Are we paying for this kind of stuff? I mean, if we have to do it behind closed doors, just do it behind closed doors and make the most of the people's investment into getting down to the truth of the matter, as opposed to, okay, all in the name of some sort of transparency. Well, you know, if we can't hear the facts, I mean, what does that do? I mean, I find it laborious and a waste of time and a waste of our money that we're having to go through this exercise. If they can't talk freely, then fine, just go close the doors and get to the answers and then come back and report to us, you know, what has happened here. We keep on going through this stuff and it just doesn't, I get frustrated. And I don't know about you, if that's, something you just have taken for granted, just say, okay, well, that's just, Washington DC, that's just our government. But, you know, all this stuff needs to come into question to say, okay, what can we do to make it more efficient? I mean, we're $20 trillion in debt, ladies and gentlemen, and we just keep mounting up expenses here and, somehow it's okay. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I was looking at the figures. Judicial Watch the other day had given a calculation, or they ran up all the numbers on how much money President Obama and his family spent on vacation and just in jet, in airfare. I mean, the millions of dollars. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is what happens. This is why D.C. is so disconnected from Main Street, and the middle class has been, you know, has been taking it on the chin time and again, and they start looking at the abuse of power and how much money has been spent and somehow, you know, justified. And I don't care if you're, you know, your president or FBI director or whatever, you still need to be responsible, and you have to be good stewards of the people's money. But man, I'll tell you, those numbers were astronomical, and they're doing the same thing for Trump too. So don't think that it's just, you know, they're picking on Barack Obama. You know, they're asking for the same information for Donald Trump to see how often he's flying, and you know, his family, and how much use of Air Force One and Marine One as well. And they're calculating that into the government expenses just to You know, keep them under check and hold them accountable. Well, the conversation continues. Stay with us, America. Dr. Ann Pierce coming up next right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Thank you for joining in on the mission to get this country back on track. We the people need to stay activated and connected and confrontive, okay? Forget about resisting. Resisting doesn't do you much, but you've got to be able to confront the problem and speak truth to power. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you, and Dr. Ann Pierce joins us, a contributor to the Washington Times, Ricochet.com, Real Clear Politics and the Washington Examiner, author of A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. Dr. Pierce, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, President Trump says we have a major, major conflict with North Korea. It is all possible. And just the other day said he'd be willing to meet with the North Korean president.
Yeah, he did say that. He should not have said he'd be honored to work with him. Yeah. As you know, I believe American foreign policy at its best combines moral and practical concerns. So we're working on global stability and national security, but we're also working on political freedom and human rights. And I really do believe that our best foreign policy presidents, from Harry Truman to Ronald Reagan, managed to emphasize all of the above. Mm-hmm. So having said that, though, I'm really glad that what Trump is actually saying is that he will meet with Kim Jong-un if this terrible regime over there stops proliferating, stops testing ballistic and nuclear weapons. And, and what we have seen over recent years is the exponential progress of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs to the point that that capability is said by experts to be growing every day. So I'm very happy that this administration is taking the threat so seriously, and I actually like a lot of the components of their policy. I can talk about that.
Yeah, I want you to break that down, but I want to, you know, just go back and reflect on, you know, what you mentioned in terms of the president saying he was honored. You know, I mean, that stuck out to me. It was like, well, where did that come from? How can you be honored? I mean, is this Barack Obama all over again, you know, bowing, you know, to the Saudi king, you know, going on an apology tour, or what the heck's going on here? I mean, I didn't care for that, that I don't know if it was a misspoken word or what, but you know, this is kind of what got him in trouble when he tried to, I think elevate Putin, and now he can't get Putin off the bottom of his shoe, you know.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of the reasons that I was very concerned about Trump as president during his campaign, because he did continue to make these seemingly apologetic comments about dictators, including Putin. And I was also worried that, like Obama, he would slouch toward isolationism and that this would create yet more vacuums that extremist groups and extremist regimes would fill, as they did during the Obama years. I've been really relieved in, on all fronts, actually. If you look at the Trump foreign policy team as a whole, he has a fantastic team in place. And if you take what they're doing collectively, I mean, you have Nikki Haley in the UN making passionate statements on human rights. And Tillerson, I've been relieved about him. He doesn't only speak out about strategic threats. He also speaks out about moral threats. And Dan Kelly John Kelly and Dan Coates and others have been really well-rounded in what they've said. And then you also have to give President Trump credit for giving his foreign policy team latitude and for being willing to grow so much on the job. I've really been pleased with that. But then, as you said, when he comes out and he says he'd be honored to meet one of the worst, most cruel dictators the world has ever seen, you just say, oh, please don't use that language.
Exactly. What were you thinking? Just a bad slip of the word here. But as you say, the team, we were talking about this the other day, that Nikki Haley has been a pleasant surprise here with the administration, how she's found a very strong and forceful position there as our representative to the United Nations. Tillerson, I mean, who would have thought Tillerson, with his Exxon background and business background, how measured he is. I mean, he brings a demeanor of calm, but yet, some firmness, to the position that we haven't had in quite a while. I mean, a huge contrast compared to John Kerry.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, you look at Nikki Haley in the UN, and you just have to love the way she is unwilling to play the game. Mm-hmm. There are games that are absolutely entrenched in the National Security Council and the UN as a whole. And, for example, she comes out with this forceful condemnation of Assad, just highlighting all his horrific treatment of the Syrian people and the use of chemical weapons and the human rights violations in general. And then when the U.S. actually takes that limited strike on the air base in Syria, there was a meeting called to discuss U.S. action. And Nikki Haley comes out and she says, I refuse to do this in a closed-door session. She says, if you're going to sit there and take up for Assad, you need to say it in public.
Right.
And then, of course, you have Tillerson with his recent trip to the UN. What a statement that was, to have the Secretary of State actually chairing a special UN Security Council. And they're finding these various ways to shine a light on what a lot of these countries that try to pretend they're against dictators actually don't do a darn thing. So I love the public focus on what the so-called international community is actually doing as opposed to what they occasionally say.
Well, and the president, to his credit, is trying to, bring this coalition of international partners together against whether it's Assad and certainly what's going on in North Korea. I mean, China, I know that Trump is putting a lot of eggs in the China basket right now. But what's your read on this currently?
Yeah, well, I've come out, actually, since I talked to you last, I've come out with two articles on North Korea, and both of them have been positive on the Trump team's North Korea policy. The one was called The Futile Pursuit of Negotiations with North Korea, Why the Trump Administration is Right to Pursue Other Options. Because if you look at the pursuit of negotiations, what that did was it provided time and cover for North Korea's pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. And no matter how many times North Korea backed out of negotiations, refused to participate in negotiations, or violated previous negotiating terms, what the Obama administration did was say, oh, the door is still open to negotiations, if only you'll do this and if only you'll do that. And Team Trump comes along and says, this is not working. Look at what's happened while we've taken that approach, exactly the opposite of what you would want to happen. So they undertook an urgent policy review, and what their new policy is based on is applying leverage and pressure on North Korea and its enablers.
Exactly.
So they're accelerating missile defenses to South Korea. They're prolonging military exercises with South Korea and sending more firepower to the region. They're working on all sides, from all
exactly.
fronts, to try to increase sanctions.
Okay, we got to pause it here. We'll be right back right after a break. Stay with us. Dr. Ann Pierce is with us.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Welcome back, America. Coming at you 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Every day right here on this STG radio network, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with Dr. Ann Pierce continues, contributor to the Washington Times, Ricochet.com, Real Clear Politics, and the Washington Examiner, author of A Perilous Path, A Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. That was then. Here is now.
And we are mostly encouraged by this new policy that the Trump administration is employing, aren't we, Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I actually came out with an article 2 days ago in U.S. News and World Report, and I actually called it a promising start, and that's how pleased I was about a lot of the foreign policy that this team has collectively put together, and not just pleased, but really relieved, because I did have my major concerns. When you're talking about North Korea, there is a great example of what I consider to be really sound policy. As I said, they underwent an urgent policy review, and as a result of that review, they decided to postpone negotiations and instead to accelerate missile defenses, conduct military exercises with South Korea and prolong those exercises, send more firepower to the region, increase pressure on China to stop sponsoring North Korea, and emphasize that we would not waver in our commitment to Japan, South Korea, and other allies. And, of course, there's also this effort to build a broader coalition to isolate North Korea that will include the Philippines and Singapore and Thailand. In addition to all of this, you've had this steady parade of American leaders to the region as if to emphasize, hey, we really meant it when Trump said it's time to take the blindfolds off with North Korea and it's time to solve the problem, because you had first Secretary of Defense Mattis, then you had Secretary of State Tillerson, and now you have CIA Director Mike Pompeo meeting with the head of South Korea's National Intelligence Services and also meeting with U.S. forces and the U.S. Embassy. So I see this as all good. But then, as you mentioned, there are these Trump statements and sometimes Trump actions that come out, and you think, oh, no, just as you've got this excellent foreign policy team putting together excellent policy, why would you do that? And one of those moments was when he said he'd be honored to meet at some point with Kim Jong-un. And the other, yesterday, I guess it was, I was really appalled at this when he started saying, well, South Korea has to pay for their own missile defense.
Yeah, really, why do you come up with that at this point? I mean, you know, look at right now, you've got a sense of urgency, an immediate call to action. Take care of that, and then, oh, by the way, let's throw that. It's like, you know, why don't you – it's almost like he's not really thinking about what he's saying. You know, everything seems to be a reactive, knee-jerk response here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bravado in that. I mean, to say that to South Korea at this juncture, just when we are really building up our alliances over there and when he himself has said it's urgent to do so, another reason that that particular statement is just absolute bad timing is that South Korea is about to undergo an election.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately,
a lot of South Koreans would like to elect in this leftist leader who would return to so-called sunshine policies with North Korea, even though South Korea's own defense ministry rejected those policies of engagement with North Korea because, in their estimation, they did a big study and they found that those policies had failed, that no matter how much we reached out and engaged with North Korea, North Korea remained equally bellicose. Mm-hmm. So to give South Koreans now another potential reason to turn against the West and to turn against strong policy, you don't want to alienate South Korea. You want in every way, shape, and form right now to be encouraging South Koreans to like the United States and to like this new pressure we're putting on North Korea.
Yeah, exactly. We need to keep them on the team, not give them a reason to look for an exit. And as you say, it is, you know, I think there's a lesson to be learned here, even from the West, you know, from the United States with what's happening. I mean, with this analysis of, you know, moving to some sort of sunshine policy, that doesn't work. Because, you know, when you negotiate with somebody, there has to be some level of parity. There's got to be some common interest here on which you can negotiate on. And I can't find the common interest that we could possibly have with North Korea right now.
Yeah, this is such a cruel regime. As I say in A Perilous Path and elsewhere, this is a country where the human rights situation is so dire that you could say the country as a whole is a concentration camp.
Yes.
It doesn't just have camps. The whole country is so severely oppressive that it's like living in a camp. And to reach out and negotiate when this regime is so intransigent and so cruel toward its own people really seems wrongheaded to me, unless we're seeing some indications that we're going to see some serious movement on their part. And a point that I make again and again is that engagement, outreach, and diplomacy are indispensable tools of American foreign policy, but we pay too little attention to the political, moral, military, and strategic goals of American foreign policy. And for some reason, our, as I said, best foreign policy presidents from Truman to Reagan were able to do that. They were able to always keep the goals in mind, even as they were deciding whether or not to pursue diplomacy with these various regimes. And I don't know, the big picture seems to get so lost in all this petty bickering we do in this country.
No, I agree.
And back and forth on all these petty issues and forgetting the big picture so often.
Well, and you mentioned the ways that we have to pressure China. It seems like there have been, you know, some exercise to that end. China, you know, we're still kind of wondering, are you really going to be there to help us out? You know, their ambassador of the United Nations made it seem like he wasn't necessarily in agreement with Xi. What did you think?
Yeah, I was a little concerned by this latest meeting of the Security Council, the one that Tillerson headed up, because China was more disagreeable than it has been. And I do worry somewhat that the press's constant unanimous critique of Trump foreign policy and saying that Trump is actually being bellicose toward North Korea, which is not true, that gives China an opening then, because these repressive leaders don't only look at what American leaders are doing. They look at what the American people and the American press are doing, and they know that American leaders can't do anything without the American people to some extent agreeing to it. So I think we have to wonder if China turned back that way in part because they're seeing this lack of support for Trump's foreign policy. But again, I do think Trump and his team are off to a very promising start with China, and that we've seen better policies already reaping better rewards. I mean, when Trump held those cordial discussions with President Xi at Mar-a-Lago, it's really interesting that the U.S. initiated a strike on a Syrian air base right when he was there. And then that, in turn, lent credence to many statements by Trump officials that we would consider all options, including force if necessary, to prevent North Korea's use of nuclear weapons. And all these other the ways we were finding to pressure North Korea and its enablers seemed to have its effect. North Korea or China said it would no longer import North Korean coal and then showed that it meant it. And it indicated that it might no longer export oil to North Korea, which would just devastate the North Korean economy, and also made public statements of cooperation with the United States and with South Korea, which were just amazing to hear, on how we all want to denuclearize.
Exactly. Well, you bring up a good point, though, Ann, about the media and not really being on our side, are they? And I say our side, the side for peace. I mean, they need to be careful. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, let's turn it into a propaganda machine, but let's make sure that both sides are represented here. But they're so much into bashing Trump that they really compromise our foreign policy. They're really not helping us in a lot of regards here, are they?
Yeah, there's this hyper-focus on the negative and a convenient leaving out of the positive, which is not helpful.
Well, Dr. Ann Pierce, author of The Perilous Path to Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and we got a real treat for you. Cole Horton is with us. We're going to talk about Star Wars, the visual encyclopedia. Had a chance to look through this wonderful, incredible book, and I'm telling you, this is real special. You're going to want this as part of your library or on top of your coffee table, all the Star Wars fans out there, because with the ever-expanding Star Wars galaxy, it can be hard to keep up. What type of technology is on board a First Order TIE fighter? Is there more to Ratars than eating people and being generally terrifying? Is Unker Plucked that ugly up close? Cole is with us right now. Cole Horton, thank you so much for being with us. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me. Doing great.
Well, Cola, let me explain to everybody, is author, historian, and games industry professional, author of multiple Star Wars books, including award-winning and best-selling Star Wars, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know, and Lego Star Wars, Chronicles of the Force. By day, he works on Star Wars games at Electronic Arts. I think that only makes sense, Cole, you know, that you do that.
It's the best job in the world, that's for sure.
Wow, how did you get that job?
You know, one thing just led to the next. I was a fan like anybody else, and I started going to conventions, and I met people there, and that led to an opportunity to write for the official Star Wars website at StarWars.com, which led to writing books, and that led to making games. So I really am living the dream. A 12-year-old me really would have said this was the best job in the world, and I'm living it every day.
And then here you are, and now you produce the Visual Encyclopedia. How did you come up with this idea? I mean, as if it wasn't already screaming at you to categorize everything that was Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team at DK really strives to make sure that they create big visual tomes, and that's what this is. This is 200 pages with 2,500 images, and the real difference here, though, is that we wanted to go very deep on a lot of subjects that people maybe hadn't seen before. So, of course, the stuff you're used to is probably in there, right? Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon, and those are there. But we went deep on all kinds of subjects that really never get the spotlight. So in this book, you can actually spend time learning about the furniture of Star Wars, the food of Star Wars. What do those heroes eat? That sort of detail is in there.
Well, that's incredible because, you know, as I was going through the book, you're exactly right, is that because I don't know how many times you watch Star Wars. It's almost like you're watching it the first time because you're going, how many times have I watched this episode? And I've missed that part, right?
That's right. Yeah, we pull things that are in the background and bring them into the forefront and make them as big and high resolution as possible so that people can really start to look at these things that they might have seen, you know, 100 times, but they've never really looked at.
Well, when you put together a book like this, as you say, you're drawing on ideas from a lot of people, right, aren't you?
We are, yeah. We're trying to bring together not only the films, but also the animated series, novels, comics, really all of the Star Wars storytelling. So myself as one of the authors and also my co-authors, Trisha Barr and Adam Bray, we really try to bring it all together because we know not everyone has gotten to read every single book or maybe watched every television show. So we want to make sure that it's all in one place and show people where the connections lie as well. So maybe that thing they're very familiar with, how does that relate to the thing that maybe they haven't heard about before?
What a pictorial roadmap, though, for the future generations, you know, because that's the incredible thing about this galaxy so far, far away. It keeps attracting generations as they come around. And here they've got this incredible encyclopedia available to them. And dare I say, they're going to know a lot more than the previous generation because they're going to check this out.
Yeah, no, and that's really, we try to write for everyone, right? So Star Wars has been around for 40 years, and a lot of fans have been with it that whole time. But we want to make sure that we're introducing the younger generations as well, right? Children, grandchildren, and be able to share that universe. And I think there's something in the book that every generation will find interesting and maybe can teach the other about.
Well, you know, they're coming up with all kinds of classes all the time, even in college campuses. Maybe this is Star Wars 1A, you know, or something. You know, they go through this book. It is just, it is so incredible. And what it demonstrates here, all the brains and the creative imaginings of, you know, Lucasfilms and what they were able to put together as a team. And here you are, you're capturing snapshots of it. And Cole, I gotta imagine as you do this, you know, you're a fan anyway, but I mean, are like light bulbs just flashing one after another as you come across another subtle idea that they've incorporated?
All the time. Yeah, you never stop thinking about it, right? And with every new story that comes out, you know, 100 new things that we can explore introduced, right? And so we're always thinking about, you know, what can we bring in that people haven't seen before, or what can we explore that maybe has just never been looked at in great depth.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, I could imagine also down the road that you're having just this incredible Star Wars trivia contest of everything about Star Wars that people would know because you have, you know, people like yourself and others who have been so close to this complex history. I mean, my 26-year-old son, I mean, the depth of knowledge of what he owns in terms of in his own mind about Star Wars is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and we really treat it like it's a real world, right? There's galaxies far, far away, and that's our approach in the book, right? We create taxonomies like a real encyclopedia would. We talk about the plant life and the fauna as if they really do exist.
Well, in terms of the characters that are involved in Star Wars, I mean, there's obvious ones, and what seem to be the questions that you're asked most often about the Star Wars character?
I mean, I'm always asked who's my favorite character, and the answer to that is R2-D2. R2, that little droid, he saves the day, and really there's no Star Wars sequel without R2-D2.
Yes, right.
But then there's so many other background characters, right, that you just barely glimpse. And all of them have backstories as well. And so, you know, I love the musicians or some of the people in the cantina bar from the Star Wars movie. And I love going into their history.
And there is more to it. I mean, you see them in the bar, but like you say, there's history behind it, which is all, brought out on display in this beautiful book. I got to tell you, Cole, when I was at the most recent in a Star Wars episode, when BB-8 came out, the kids knew right away. I'm going, who's that? I mean, and you hear, BB-8. I mean, they really gravitated to that character.
Yeah, no, BB-8 has certainly been a fan favorite of the new characters, right up there with those classic characters that we know and love, right? He has sort of taken over their imagination. And there's still that sense of mystery to BB-8, right? We've only seen one movie with a lot of these new characters, and so there's a lot more to explore.
Now, what about the battles, the Star Wars battles?
We cover those as well. We actually treat it as if it's a war history. And so all of the most epic battles from Star Wars history are included in the book.
And then, of course, you've got all the material, the after a movie of, merchandising that goes on. I mean, what a package the Star Wars, franchise has become, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. There is there's always more to explore, and that's what makes it so great. If your reader finds something to love here, they're going to love something somewhere else.
Well, you've got, like I said, you've got all the trivia that goes along with it. You've got, fun facts. I mean, this is incredible. This is a real blessing for Star Wars fan, this new book. Cole Horton, author, historian, game industry professional on Bill Martinez Live. Cole, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book, Star Wars, the Visual Encyclopedia.
Thanks, Bill.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, given the option, freedom is what it's all about. I think you agree. 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. We've got Mark Shapiro with us to talk about George Harrison, the mysterious Beatle, you might say, in his brand new book, Behind Sad Eyes, The Life and Times of George Harrison. Mark is author of more than 75 celebrity biographies that not only include this one, also Hey Joe, the unauthorized biography of a rock classic, and Trump This, The Life and Times of Donald Trump. Been a lot of fun for you, huh, Mark?
Oh, yeah. It's rent.
Well, exactly. But George Harrison, why George Harrison?
More curiosity in the beginning on my part. When we think about the Beatles, we think about Lennon, mm-hmm. McCartney, occasionally Ringo. But it was like, to my way of thinking, Harrison always kind of went by the wayside. He was quickly dismissed as the quiet Beatle, the very good guitar player. But he never really had anything done on him that would kind of get inside of him what he was like. Mm-hmm. Personally, professionally, I always thought Harrison was a much deeper soul than he was given credit for, and that was the mm-hmm. impetus for writing the book.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. That's why I was grateful to read your book and to get some depth on George Harrison, because up to this point, I mean, he seemed to be content as far as the public persona was concerned to sit behind Lennon and McCartney, that powerful force. But you had this sense that he did, find his place. I mean, his guitar riffs are just absolutely genius. I think that, 100 years down the road, people are going to go, how did this guy come up with this stuff?
Yeah, and he was basically the allegedly the quiet Beatle, but mm-hmm. Through the entire life of the Beatles, he was always having struggles. He was an aspiring songwriter, and as it would turn out, he would be a quite good one. It wasn't until 1965 that he actually would start getting songs on the Beatle albums. McCartney and Lennon basically wrote everything. But slowly but surely, he started getting every album he would get like a song or two. He had songs like Taxman, Within You, Without You, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Here Comes the Sun, and probably one of the most covered Beatles songs ever, Something.
Exactly. Right.
But it was a struggle. I mean, professionally, he was always at odds. I mean, he had moments where he was threatening to quit the band, and at one point he actually towards the life of the Beatles, he actually did quit for 12 days, but ultimately came back. And, you know, he at his heart, he was a creative soul, and it's not always easy to be creative soul when you're in the middle of the biggest rock and roll band in the world.
Yeah, without a doubt. Was he tormented?
I think he was persistent rather than tormented. If he got an idea in his head, he would jump into it full force, mentally, physically, creatively. He had his frustrations, like every rock star. He wanted to be taken as a serious musician, and, you know, being in the Beatles and playing in front of 50,000 people at Shea Stadium when nobody can even hear the music, you know, had to have worn on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually he always seemed to come through and satisfy himself. A couple of examples being the notorious Beatles Finding Religion period was basically mm-hmm. Harrison's doing. He got him to go to India and sit with the Maharishi and all
right.
that kind of stuff. But Harrison was the first one, and he truly believed it. He wasn't just doing it was the hip thing to do. You know, I'm sure he had frustrations. I know with his first marriage to Patty, he wanted children in the worst way, and for whatever reason, he could never have children with Patty. And being the true mensch that he was, when stories started to circulate about how they were not having children, and the blame tended to fall on Patty, he took the blame. He said, "If we're not having children, it's my fault."
Right.
So he was, you know, he was a stand-up guy at the end.
And as you say, he was very spiritual. I mean, for him to lead the way, I mean, the Beatles were on cutting edge anyway. I mean, you look at all the cultural changes that occurred when that band was so popular, what they led us into. I mean, they led America into the bell-bottom pants and long hair. You know, I mean, they were able to take three chords and just do magical things with three chords. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, the universal three chords, the EDNA.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. But for Harrison, though, you talk about his early childhood, that it wasn't the most pleasant.
No, I mean, he was brought up in a middle-class type of environment. He struggled, but his family made things pretty comfortable for him. I mean, he never totally did without. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had days when they had, you know, their moments where it wasn't so great. I mean, the family had an outdoor toilet when he was growing up, which was considered in cold weather, kind of a drawback. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, they were basically warming the house by a single coal fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for the working class kid in England at the time, it was kind of par for the course. I think he kind of drew strength from the fact that the family persevered through all of that, and he wound up having a pretty decent life in early on.
Was he pretty much an introvert?
I would say so. I mean, he had his moments. Stardom kind of brought out the devil in him a little bit, but he was kind of a cerebral kind of guy. I mean, he was the one who always seemed to have the deep thoughts about things. It was almost destined, I think, and his parents finally came around to that fact that he was going to be doing something creatively, either as an artist, a musician, a writer of some kind. But he gravitated towards music. The first person he ever saw play guitar was Slim Whitman.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of uphill from there.
Yeah.
He was very much into the early on into the skiffle and the rockabilly type of scenes that were going on in England at the time. And he gravitated towards music to the point where his parents, who were kind of hoping for something better in his life, kind of threw up their hands and said, "If you're going to be a musician, be a musician." At that point, he dropped out of school at age 16, and the rest is history.
Exactly. Did he have conflict, with McCartney and Lennon? I mean, they early on, the two said, "Look, we're going to collaborate. Whatever you write, I'm going to get credit." Whatever, you know, they had this agreement going in that it was always going to be McCartney and Lennon on just the predominant number of songs that were done by the Beatles. But meanwhile, you have Harrison who's got this gift and this talent, and you know, and he's probably, you know, if the truth be known, with some of these songs, because of his riffs and his contribution, it really he probably deserved more credit. Maybe that bothersome for him.
very much so early on, and we're talking about the early days, you know, the Quarrymen, who then morphed into the Beatles. He was basically at odds with not only Lennon and McCartney, but their producer du jour, George Martin, who kind of sided with the notion that there should be two strong songwriters and that Lennon and McCartney would be it. But eventually his skills improved to the point where by the time Rubber Soul came around in 65, he could be counted on to have songs that were good enough to have at least one, possibly two songs on an album from that point on. If you go back and listen to things like, again, Rubber Soul, Revolver, basically from any point from that point on, you could count on different kinds of songs from Harrison, and I emphasize different because he was very much into the folk scene at the time when probably not a whole lot of people were, and the band was influenced by him. I mean, he basically, they said, if you come up with a song that's as good as what Lennon and McCartney are writing, we'll very strongly consider putting it on there. And by 65, 66, they had to admit that what Harrison was doing was at least comparable to the best that they were doing, and they start, you hate to use the phrase throwing him a bone, but you could always count on a Harrison song or two. I mean, Taxman is a classic.
Exactly, right.
You know, and, I mean, basically, he fought for everything he got, and that's the bottom line to it. He was persistent. He knew he was good in his own quiet way. He wasn't an egomaniac, at least not on the surface. But, you know, it wasn't an easy way for him to go. And by, if anybody heaved a sigh of relief when the Beatles finally broke up 69-70, it was Harrison, because he saw himself as suddenly being free to do whatever he wanted musically, creatively, and otherwise. And it's all from that point on, he went off in different directions. I mean, you count the number of ways he was doing things musically that were new and different, either for rock and roll in general or for, but more importantly, for Harrison personally.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you talk about Taxman. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, another iconic song, and of course, Something, as you mentioned, probably the second most covered song of the Beatles, and it brought, it exposed, I guess, some gentleness, you know, some really, you know, heart depth of George Harrison that, you know, you had to think twice, because I remember the first time I played that song, I was a disc jockey in Los Angeles, and I'm going, Harrison did this, you know. I had to really take a, you know, like do a double take here, you know.
Right. It was something totally different. It was something totally different for Harrison. Fans had never heard anything like this from the Beatles, or nothing remotely from the Beatles, and you know, it was a shock to them too, but. You know, good music is timeless, and when Harrison came up with good music, you know, people couldn't help but jump on for the ride.
About 30 seconds left here, Mark. My Sweet Lord, the controversial song there.
Okay, obviously there, he was sued. What a lot of people don't know, and I, in researching the book, I managed to track down Delaney Bramlett, who would die within the year after I did the interview with him.
Bonnie and Delaney, yes.
Go Delaney ahead. Bonnie, yeah. And he said that he, and he gave me a detailed version of who actually wrote the song, and Delaney said in 1969 when he was doing the Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends tour, Harrison came up to him after a show and asked him, how do you write gospel? And wow. Delaney and a couple of backup singers basically laid out what would become the basic lyrical and musical trend.
Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.